Wisdom. The final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium podcast. This is day 1201 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is important in order to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, it is required that we also have a proper understanding of God and His Word. On our Worldview Wednesday episodes, we are in a series in which we are covering another detailed review of a book from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. We are taking a deep dive and will share Dr. Heiser's insights into the question, which is also the title of his book, What Does God Want? And today we're going to focus on Disciples Take Care of Each Other. This element of discipleship is an outgrowth of loving one another, which we focused on last week. Taking care of each other means being in and nurturing community. As more and more people came to embrace the gospel in the days following Pentecost, they became part of a growing community that would be called the church, in their case, the one at Jerusalem. In the New Testament, the term didn't refer to a building or an official organization. The New Testament tells us that the church in Jerusalem was notoriously poor. They didn't have a building to meet in, and there were already thousands of new believers. They didn't have any official legal status, so the believers many times were persecuted. If the church wasn't a building or an organization that had legal status, what did it mean? How did the followers of Jesus sustain themselves? Well, they formed a tight, self-sacrificing community. Too often in modern churches, we use the word community to describe something more similar to a group of people who share an interest, like being a fan of a sports team or mutual supporters of a good cause. This falls short of what the New Testament community was. The New Testament church community was a family. What is the difference between a family and a group of people who bond together because of mutual interest? Well, we could probably find lots of things. Would you expect someone to give you money to pay for your rent or groceries just because they like the same baseball team? Would you expect someone to give you a job or fix your car just because you voted for the same person or ran the same 5K race to raise money for a cause? Probably not. But you would expect help from family members, or at least that's the way family, blood relationships, is supposed to work. And that's what the early church was like. And here's a glimpse found in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This passage doesn't describe communism or socialism. It doesn't describe any political system. There's nothing in this passage about the government or the state giving direction or using coercion for the behavior you see. It was entirely voluntary. It describes the behavior of a healthy, normal family. Families meet the needs of their members. This one just happened to consist of thousands of people. This is a picture of what disciples do. They nurture the community. They love one another and support one another like a family would do. That means sharing their resources. For some believers, that may mean money. For others, it may mean time or a service or a skill. Basically, the community does what needs to be done for their community. You might wonder, with so many people involved, how this community could know each other. Believers would gather together in the temple for a large gathering, which usually caused conflict with the Jewish leaders, but was good for evangelism. And then they met in homes. This means the church in Jerusalem, the original Christian community, was actually a network of smaller communities. People in smaller numbers within the communities were the first line of support and the acknowledgement of believers. These communities were the entry points for new believers. The Christian community was for people who embraced the gospel. Each of these smaller communities participated in the discipleship of its members and, in certain ways, believers in the wider, larger community. And what did this look like? The first thing that usually happened was to baptize new believers. Baptism is a public act. It was observed by witnesses, the other community members, and was used to identify with Jesus and his followers. It signified several things, among them that your sins had been forgiven because of what Jesus had done on the cross and that now you had new life. Baptism was the first step of entering into the life of the community. The persons being baptized acknowledged their faith in Jesus and the witnesses acknowledged their commitment. When communities of believers met together, they discovered needs. If they could meet the need of the people of the small community, they would do so. This allowed the believers who met needs to imitate Jesus. For those who were helped, they learned in real time how to live like Jesus. When the needs were greater than the small community could meet, a wider family of believers were there to help. It was for this wider coordination of the ministry that the apostles, the original disciples of Jesus, who were leaders in the fledgling Jerusalem church, appointed helpers, which were referred to as deacons, to organize the daily distribution of food throughout the entire community. And that can be found in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. One of the practices of the earliest churches in regard to this was to hold a feast in connection with remembering the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was a memorial celebration of the Last Supper, when Jesus told his disciples that his body and blood would soon be given to them. Jesus told them that giving his life was the fulfillment of the new covenant. The description of the feast at the Lord's Supper says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. The Lord's Supper was a way to remember what Jesus had done. Jesus has told his disciples to do it in remembrance of me. It was another way to make sure that the poor in the believing community were taken care of. Besides the importance of community taking care of the physical needs of the fellow disciples, as was mentioned in today's review, there are several other ways that the disciples take care of each other. Over the next few weeks, we will dig into the other responsibilities we have to each other as fellow disciples. But that will conclude our lesson for this week from Dr. Heiser's book, What Does God Want? On our next Worldview Wednesday, we will discover additional ways on how the disciples take care of each other. I believe that you'll find the Worldview Wednesdays an interesting topic to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow, we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer to help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek. Creating a legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,200 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor. But most importantly, I am your friend. As I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.